Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Look and See audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
This is Brian Bocchicchio again stealing Bill's hosting chair. Yeah. Anyway, tonight on the Swagcast, we're going to feature the mystery series Pat Novak for Hire, as well as some ongoing Dark Shadows OTR. I know you're looking forward to that. But before we get started, a bit of background on Pat Novak. Pat Novak for Hire was a classic old-time radio show starring Jack Webb in 1946 and 1949, and Ben Morris from 1947 to 1948 as Pat Novak. A streetwise guy who rents boats and anything else a good man pays a bad one to do. Novak is always getting into scrapes when taking on jobs for hire or occasionally as a favor to a friend. When he does, he goes to see the only honest guy I know, an ex-doctor and a boozer named Jocko Madigan, played by Tudor Owens. Novak's nemesis is Lieutenant Hellman of Homicide, played by Raymond Burr and others, who's constantly trying to get Novak sent to the gas chamber. From Novak's fantastic similes and brilliant descriptions of femme fatales to Jocko Madigan's philosophical drunken speeches and the verbal, sometimes physical, fisticuffs between Novak and Hellman, Pat Novak for Hire is memorable from start to finish. And now for Pat Novak for Hire. Enjoy.
Pat Novak for Hire.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak for Hire.
The sign out in front of my office reads that way. Pat Novak for Hire. Oh, there's no way to dress it up. If you're in business down on the San Francisco waterfront, everything but murder is a parlor trick. If you rob a few graves, you can pay the rent. Nobody cares if you got sore eyelids. You get that way from winking at too many things. Oh, it's a good living if you don't run short of bail bonds and Benzedrine. I discovered that Friday night. After the fight broadcast, I wound up in a little whiskey barrel on Powell Street. I had a Glasgow farmer out of the red when they closed the bar, and I drifted across the street for a cup of coffee. When I came out, it was raining and the street was deserted. I stood in the doorway and watched the dull neons through the rain. They looked splotched and dim, like watercolors rubbed with a damp rag. It was beginning to rain harder, and I started out of the doorway when she ducked in and bumped up against me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just wait for your blockers on the next one.
I guess I bumped into you.
Don't go out on a limb.
I'm very sorry. I guess I didn't know where I was going.
You seem to be headed in the right direction.
How do you mean?
Forget I noticed.
It's raining awfully hard.
Hmm.
I wonder if you ever noticed how...
When it rains, you feel lonely and lost?
Yes. Yes, that's it. How when it rains, you feel lonely and lost.
Yeah, well, we're both great readers, so if you let me get by, I want to get a cab.
Yes, I wonder if I could ask you something funny.
The bars are closed.
No, I meant coffee. I'll pay for it.
All right.
In here?
Sure. Come on. The counter will do.
All right.
What's it gonna be? Hey, you back again?
Yeah, two coffees.
How come?
I'm nervous. Two coffees.
You like a bear claw, maybe?
You know what we want?
Two coffees?
Yeah.
Be right with you.
Thank you. I know it's funny asking you in here, but I have to talk to someone. I don't know what I'm doing.
I won't argue.
Been away a long time. Guess a long time.
Yeah, the kids will be glad to see you back. Huh? Stop it, will you, sis? Get to the point. Put the show on the road.
I think I've lost my memory. At least it seems that way at first.
Who are you?
I don't know. I suppose you don't believe
it. No, but I convince hard.
Here you are. Oh, coffee. Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine.
If you're down here, if you need anything else.
You thought up a name yet, Buster?
You'd be crazy to believe me. Guess you'd be crazy, but I can't remember anything.
Now, look, lady, if you got amnesia, see the police.
You don't believe me.
I don't know. Maybe you are leveling. But if you're off your rocker, go to the police.
But suppose there's something that happened before and the police would be looking for me. Please, would you try to help me?
How bad are you? Do you know what town you're in?
Yes.
Have you been here before? Do you live here?
I think maybe. Seems like a place I've been.
All right, I'll put you in a cab. You go see the police.
No. I feel funny. I think I'll go outside for a minute. I don't want Hilda to know. Leave it. I'm going to... Oh, please. Help me.
Mister, your girlfriend's on the floor.
Yeah, any suggestions?
No, she's your date.
All right, here, give me a hand, will you?
Well, where are you going to take her?
The hospital. She's an amnesia case.
I hope your memory's good.
Huh?
You'll need it for answers. Your girlfriend's passed out for good.
Don't tell me.
I feel a pulse, mister. You're gonna have to start over, because she's all used up.
That's good. You got a wailing wall?
Sure. Use the counter, while I call homicide.
It didn't take 20/20 vision to see I was in trouble. Maybe it was an accident, maybe it wasn't. I didn't have any idea why she keeled over there, but with a figure like hers, I knew it wasn't old age. I called a homicide, Matt Hellman was going to be in the picture soon, and then I'd stand about as much chance as a cornfield in a stone quarry. Well, I went through the girl's stuff. She had no identification. There were a couple of snapshots of her, but no name. I told the waiter my name and where Hellman could find me. Then I got out of there. I looked up Jocko Madigan, an ex-doctor who liked his booze pretty well. Smart guy, but he used a mason jar for a jigger. I finally found him holed up in some after-hours joint on Geary Street. He was talkative.
Hello, Patsy. A small jug for Mr. Novak, waiter.
I want to talk to you, Jocko.
Patsy, you shouldn't be here. It's after hours.
Yeah, look, Jocko, I need some help. What do you know about amnesia?
Oh, a temporary blessing. I thought I had it myself once.
Oh, stop it, will you?
But it just turned out to be a case of bad bourbon. A peasant's drink, I've decided.
Get up the street level long enough for me to talk. I'm in trouble.
Yes?
I met some blister tonight who took a dive after one cup of coffee.
Oh, I see.
She had amnesia, or she thinks she did.
Oh, she's dead. Why worry about amnesia? It's a minor ailment.
Because Hellman's going to think I had something to do with it. She picked out my lap. Don't you see how it's going to add up?
I have high hopes.
I gotta do something in a hurry.
Was she a nice girl?
Yes, I guess so.
How come you met her?
What difference does it make? Tell me about amnesia. Could she phony it?
Maybe. Not for long. What makes you think she did?
I don't know. She acted like a butterfly with a jag on, and she headed straight for me. It just doesn't add.
No. What cell block can I find you in?
You can get off your spine and go to work for me. You know the hospital circuit. Hit them all and find out everything you can about recent amnesia cases.
Well, how far back do I go?
Until you find one that jibes with this girl.
Oh, it's impossible. Where do I start? I feel like Noah when they told him to beat the flood.
She's blonde, blue eyes, expensive clothes.
How big?
Just the right size for a good dream. Start checking now and give me a ring at my place.
No identification?
None. She only said one thing when she fell.
Oh, something crude?
No, she mentioned a gal by the name of Hilda.
That should be easy to trace.
Sure.
Just look it up in the phone book. You will find it somewhere between Hellman and homicide. Right, lover?
Well, there wasn't anything I could do for the next few hours except sublet from an ostrich. I had to keep undercover because all I had to work on was a couple of snapshots and a girl named Hilda. Neither figured to get me out of this mess. Hellman was bound to ask a lot of questions because I had as much business being with a dead girl as Lucky Luciano in a finishing school. After I left Jocko, I took a C car downtown and I went home to grab some sleep. When I walked in the apartment, the lights were out, and that didn't make any difference. Hellman's badge was shining like a lake in Ireland. He was making himself at home with my ice cubes.
Hello, Novak. Put the light on so I can watch you turn pale.
All right, Hellman, get to the point.
Sure. Who was your girlfriend?
I don't know. She was the coy type.
So are you, Novak. You're going to look good sucking your thumb in the gas chamber.
I suppose your coroner is full of good news.
She died of an overdose of sleeping pills. The coroner's report is murder.
How about the space mark suicide?
No dice. You don't take sleeping pills, then tour the town for a spot to take a nap.
So she died in a coffee joint. What am I supposed to do, carry a stomach pump?
You're supposed to tell me who she is. We'll go from there.
I don't know, neither did she.
I've got that down as a lie.
You file it any way you want, Hellman. She was amnesia.
So are you, Novak.
All right, hire a medium then. I told you. She came into the restaurant a total stranger. We got social, but she died a total stranger.
How are you going to prove it?
I don't know. If I knew who she was, I wouldn't play footsie with you. Do I have to draw a map? She came in trying to sort out her marbles and never got there.
I see.
What did you find out? How about clothes markings?
That's your department.
How about laundry marks?
I don't know. I guess she washed her own. Look, Novak, you're a big boy now. You're in a spot. If you want to help, now's the time to do it.
You got everything I know. From here on, you work the ball downfield.
All right. You just answer the doorbell from time to time. When you see a guy grinning out there, that'll be me coming to pinch you for murder.
Well, that'll take lots of doing, mister, and lots of proof. You remember that.
I'll try, Novak. But I may get amnesia. Good night, Big Shot.
When Hellman left, I backed into my headache and went to bed. Oh, sure, I was in a spot now. The scorecard said murder, and I was the medalist on the first round. If the police didn't know who she was, that meant she had no record we could work on. I still had the funny hunch about that gal pulling a phony. But if it was phony, I was worse off. I had all the best arrows in town pointing to me, and once Hellman began to build a case, I could throw away those vacation folders. I slept until about 9. The phone began to ring, and I rolled over expecting to hear Gabriel on the other end of the line. It was just Jocko. Hello, Novak talking.
This is Jocko. I've been working all night.
We'll build a monument later. What'd you find out?
The morning paper says the girl was murdered.
Yeah, Hellman gave me a preview. What'd you find out at the hospitals?
I've got a complete list of amnesia victims. I know more lost souls than a Hong Kong bartender.
Yeah?
Most of them men. Trying to get away from the little woman.
Well, you're a big help, Jocko.
Don't hang up till you hear about the girl.
Go ahead.
Nothing on file for the last 8 years. In 1941, a 17-year-old girl walked out of California General Hospital. She hasn't been heard of since.
How's the description?
Oh, it fits like last year's bathing suit. She was Marcia Halpern, the daughter of Emery Halpern.
Yeah? Who's he?
A pocket-heavy guy down on Montgomery Street.
I'll get right down there. Thanks, Jocko. You saved my life.
Well, I hadn't intended to go that far. See you later.
Well, it was my one chance, even if the odds looked bad. I called up Halpern's office. They said he wasn't in to try him at home. It was listed for a place up on Pacific Heights, so I took a cab over there. When I walked in the lobby, I could tell old man Halpern was making as much money as you can without your own printing press. The apartment made Buckingham Palace look like something George had picked up at a fire sale. The doorman was a sober-looking specimen, the kind of guy that breathes every other Tuesday. He gave me the fisheye as I went up the elevator to the third floor. Halpern's apartment was at the east end. The butler showed me in, and I waited in the living room. It was a real cozy place, about the size of a small rugby field. A door opened on the side, and 200 pounds of Regency oozed into the room like a wet ghost.
Good morning. I'm Mr. Taylor.
I'm Novak. Where's Halpern?
Well, Mr. Halpern is away on a business trip. I'm Mark Taylor, the family lawyer. I believe that's the phrase.
Oh. Well, I'll drop by later, huh?
Perhaps I can help you. I take care of most of Mr. Halpern's business now.
Did you know his daughter?
Yes. It was quite tragic.
That's what I hear.
She was a victim of amnesia. She forgot all the details of her home.
Must have been a temptation. Did the police ever do anything on her?
The police were not advised. Mr. Halpern hired private detectives, but she was never found. Yes, it was quite tragic.
You wear your mourning a long way, Taylor. She'd be about 25 now, wouldn't she? Taffy hair, blue eyes, nice figure.
I believe she had leanings in that direction. Why, Mr. Novak?
I think I may know where she is.
You don't know what that would mean to this family, Mr. Novak.
You don't know what it would mean to me, Mr. Taylor. Here's a snapshot.
Yeah, let me see it.
Well, Taylor, this is not a B-movie.
This is a picture of Marcia Halpern.
You sure?
I don't make many mistakes, Mr. Novak.
All right, if you've used up your quota. She's downtown.
I'll get in touch with Mr. Halpern right away.
No, take your time. She's dead.
She... When?
Last night, she got sleepy.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Somebody gave her enough sleeping pills to stock a drugstore.
I see. After all these years, to come back, and then this... It was most
tragic?
Yes, I was about to say that. It'll be a great blow to Mr. Halpern. It'll be a very great blow to Mr. Halpern. Have the police any ideas?
A few. You know anybody named Hilda?
No, why?
I'm just sweeping out the corners. When's Halpern due?
This afternoon. I'll arrange an... Excuse me, please.
All right.
Hello, this is Mark Taylor. No, that can't be right. Well, when did it happen? Yes. Yes, please keep me advised.
You ought to wear a purple suit, Taylor.
I have bad news, Mr. Novak. Brace yourself.
I'm lightheaded. Go ahead.
Mr. Halpern was killed in a motor accident last night. His car plunged down a ravine near Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strange.
Yeah, that must have been a great blow to Mr. Halpern. Well, I left there and went downstairs. All the way down, I had the funny feeling that something was wrong, the way a person feels when he goes into a doctor's office with an incurable disease. It may have been Taylor. I don't know. He seemed all right, but I still had that feeling that something was out of place, like a broken line in a perfect picture. I crossed the street and called Hellman. It was too early in the day because he was as sad as a tap dancer in moccasins.
Hellman talking.
This is Novak. How's the case?
You look better every minute.
How's the identification?
We're moving slow. So far, we know she's a woman.
That's right. Her name's Marcia Halpern. She disappeared in 1941 with amnesia.
San Francisco?
Yeah. She's the daughter of Emery Halpern.
We'll check with old man Halpern.
You better send your best man because he rolled a car and killed himself last night. Sacramento?
I got news for you, too.
Yeah?
We got a statement from that waiter.
Who wrote it?
He says you brought that girl in for coffee. Also, you were nice and chummy.
I knew her for 5 minutes.
With you, that's a lifetime. The guy said you were good friends. That's the way our story's gonna read.
You suit yourself. I'm busy.
Yeah? Where you going?
Same place you are, Hellman. Sacramento. If I didn't move fast, I was deader than a Philadelphia nightclub. When they start taking statements, you can wire for flowers. I called Jocko and told him to check up on old man Halpern's estate. I borrowed a car and drove up to Sacramento. The accident was just outside of there. When I got to the spot, Hellman was already in charge. He's going to make a fight for the job at last judgment. They were down in the ravine, and Hellman was beating around the bushes, making more noise than a Venetian blind in a typhoon. Hello, Hellman. Did you find anything?
Get your own haystack. I'm busy.
Where's the body?
You get the blues if you don't see one corpse today. He's up in town.
Did you notice those tracks up there in the road?
Yeah. Double tracks don't mean a thing.
Oh, sure. Maybe two cars fell down and one got lost. Wake up, Hellman. If he drove over the side, he sure had a tough time making up his mind.
When you're through on that pipe, I'll send over another. I'm going over the car.
Hellman went over to the car, and I started looking through the bushes. I don't know what I expected to find, maybe an old boy scout. After about 10 minutes, I shifted over to the other side, and it showed up right near the ground under a bush. Hellman must have seen me because he came right over.
Hey, what is it? What'd you find?
A handkerchief.
Oh.
That's funny.
What's funny about it, too? It's a handkerchief. The old man had a nose, didn't he?
Well, he must have loved it then. His hanky's loaded with perfume. Take a whiff here.
Yeah. Recognize it?
Sure. I don't know about you, but I smell a rat. Things began to move. This was the first break, and Hellman knew it. I went back to town, and I tried to get in touch with Jocko, but he was running up a tab somewhere, so I drove over to see Mark Taylor again. When I got to the apartment, I found out he wasn't in, but the pinch hitter was all right. When she opened the door, I got a nice warm feeling, like a melted cheese sandwich. She was standing there in a dark silk evening gown. It was strapless, and she had no worries. When she spoke, it was like saying, put another log on the fire.
Good evening.
Taylor in here?
Won't you come in?
Sure.
Mr. Taylor won't be in for a while. I'm waiting for him myself.
I see. I'm Pat Novak.
Is it urgent? Anything I can do?
If it were, you'd get my vote. Who are you?
I'm Hilda Travis. I'm a friend of the family.
Which family?
Would a drink take off the rough edges, Mr. Novak?
It might.
Good. I'll make one.
I brought Taylor a present.
How nice. A girdle, maybe? Or am I being catty?
No, a handkerchief. This one. Do you like it?
Should I?
I thought you might want it for a keepsake. I found it in a ditch up in Sacramento about 10 feet from Emery Halpern.
Poor Emery. Here's your drink.
Thanks. Poor Emery. It's full of perfume. You want to smell?
That wouldn't do any good. You want to know if it matches my perfume.
It's your idea.
Go ahead.
All right.
Now, closer. That's it. See?
Yeah.
It's early in the evening, Mr. Novak. Don't blow a fuse.
I won't until I find out who killed Marcia Halpern.
Good luck, for everybody's sake. By the way, the police think you killed her, don't they?
Did Taylor brief you?
A little.
I asked him this morning if he knew a girl named Hilda.
He must have forgotten.
Yeah, everybody's got amnesia. Just to make things easy, did you kill her?
Just to make them hard, did you?
I see. Well, just tell Taylor I called.
Don't be a savage, Mr. Novak. You haven't finished your drink. And it's raining outside.
I'll finish this one.
That's good. Sit down beside me here. We'll finish our drinks and pray for a cloudburst.
She turned out to be an old-fashioned girl. She had about 8 of them before I got out of there. I tried to pump her, but she wouldn't talk about Marcia Halpern. I just became a family friend. After I left, I ducked into a drugstore and started phoning Jocko. I finally caught him at the hunt room. He'd worked his way below the label already.
Hello, Patsy. I'm having a wonderful time.
Yeah, what'd you find out?
I just heard a funny story.
It's old. What about Halpern?
He barely changed his will after the girl died. The whole estate goes to her.
Who's next in line?
A fellow named Mark Taylor. That's the new part of the will drawn up 3 weeks ago.
Good boy, Jocko.
So I looked up the dope on Mark Taylor. He's a family friend.
It's a new club. Go on.
Looks all right. Some funny bank book stuff, though.
For instance?
Well, he drew $3,000 out last month for a Lisbon passage. A girl named Helen Dupre. Maybe she's a foreign cinema discovery.
Well, he's no talent scout. Meet me down in Homicide in 10 minutes, Jocko. If we're lucky, we'll show Hellman something.
What?
How to draw to an inside straight. Hurry up and don't stop for a bracer.
Well, just don't smell my breath. See you soon, lover.
I'd explained everything I could to Hellman when Jocko got there. I went over it for him and sent him out on an errand. He was to meet Hellman and come up to Taylor's apartment. I went on ahead. It was about 11 o'clock when I knocked on the door.
Mr. Novak, so soon.
Yeah, I'm coming in. Hello, Taylor.
I won't say you're wearing out your welcome, Mr. Novak, but it's getting very thin.
You better take time out and pack your bags.
Is that nice, Patsy?
because a guy named Hellman wants you for murder.
We've been over that once, Mr. Novak.
Yeah, but we got a whole new infield this time. Hellman thinks you killed a girl named Helen Dupre.
I don't know a girl named Helen Dupre.
The bank vouchers say yes. They say you brought her over here 6 weeks ago.
Wait a minute, Patsy.
Oh, you made the team too, Angel. They got you all fixed up for old man Halpern's case up in Sacramento.
Get out of here, Novak.
I left a drink here.
Find a bar there.
Get out of here. I wouldn't want to jam this gun through your face.
Come on in, Hellman. Did you bring him with you?
Yeah. Come in here, fella. Is that the girl?
Yeah, that's her.
Where'd you see her before?
Sacramento last night.
He's crazy. It's a plant, Mark.
Tell him more, Junior. You sure she's the one?
Yeah, she was on the road and I seen her at the car with this old fella.
Hang on, lady. The road gets bumpy from here on.
My lights were out, so I guess she didn't see me.
Take this little guy out of here.
I got a story. I seen you hit the old fella, then start the car down the bank.
I didn't hit him on the head. I told you that, Mark.
Yes, you did.
Tell him, Mark. Tell him I was here.
How can I when you tipped our mitt?
That's right, Taylor. Get out while you can.
Tell him I was here, Mark.
Oh, you little fool. Don't you know you've told them already?
You're a bum guy, Mark. You've been a bum guy all along.
I keep my mouth shut.
I'll give you a chance to talk. I'll tell you about him, Novak.
Shut up, you little half-wit.
You're all right on the straightaway, but you're a bad guy on the curves, Mark.
Keep still, Angel.
For a tin-horn punk like you, I'll talk lots.
You'd better say it fast.
Yeah. You get any prize in the house, Taylor. Take your choice.
Are you working for a living, Hellman?
Yep.
All right, then, let's go.
Yeah. See you downtown, Novak.
Is she all right, Jocko?
I'm out of practice.
Well, Patsy.
You like it this way, baby?
No complaints. I've always gone first class. I wouldn't like it the other way.
Yeah.
I could have used a little more time, but I'm not greedy. Still raining out, Patsy?
No. It's stopped raining. It's beginning to clear up and over. Come on, Jocko. I'm talking to myself. Well, it seems that Marcia Halpern was dead for years. Somewhere on the other side, a girl named Helen Dupre got the story out of her. She looked a lot like Marcia Halpern, so she waited until after the war and contacted this Mark Taylor. They cooked up a hoax and the pot boiled over. She was supposed to fake amnesia and stumble into the hospital. The pictures in the wallet would be printed. Mark would identify her as Marcia Halpern. The same night they planned to kill the old man the way they did. That way, Helen Dupre and Mark could split the dough, but they figured it wrong. Another girl named Hilda Travers had the story, too. She put the squeeze on Mark, and he blundered. He found out he didn't need a phony Marcia Halpern after all. The new clause in the will gave Mark the dough, so he loaded Helen Dupre with sleeping pills while Hilda gave the old man his last ride. All he had to do was wait for the dough and then split with Hilda. Few things went wrong. Sometimes it only takes one. Helen did her part, but she was no Bernhard. And then at the last minute, she knew something was wrong and mentioned Hilda. I kind of began to wonder when Mark identified that picture so fast. After more than 8 years, he identified it immediately. And then it was that handkerchief. From there in, it was freewheeling. All we had to have was a witness. Well, that guy from Sacramento? Well, he was some actor that Jocko picked up in the hunt room. Hellman finally cleaned up the mess. Taylor's in the clink. And of course, the girl already picked up her end of the check. Oh, she was nice, too. If you don't mind claw marks. Well, it all worked out, and Hellman's happy, except that actor keeps calling him up for parts.
The American Broadcasting Company has just brought you the third of a new series, Pat Novak for Hire. starring Jack Webb. Jocko Madigan is played by Jack Lewis. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr. Music was composed and conducted by Basim Ablum.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Pat Novak, For Hire.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak, For Hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak, For Hire. Down on the waterfront in San Francisco, billing doesn't mean much. Everybody's got the same act. They're all out to turn a fast buck, and when you're in business down here, everything but murder is a parlor trick. Once in a while, your eyelids get sore from winking it too much, but it's a living. You get to meet the best people in town. There's only one hooker. You're liable to wake up some morning dead. Because around the waterfront, you don't need a union card for trouble. It sneaks up and paws you like a wet ghost. I found that out when I met Bruno Zweis. I closed up early Tuesday night, and I went home to catch up on last month's sleep. I don't know how long I was in bed. Must have been about 11 when I woke up. The room was dark and as stale as last year's Christmas candy. I had the goofy feeling that somebody was in the room with me. I was breathing kind of hard, and I stopped to have a listen. Somebody was sitting on my bed. Either that or the landlord had put in an echo. I listened again.
Hello, Novak.
You're mixed up, friend. I pay the rent here.
Get your hands away from the light, Novak. Just be a good boy, and you can collect your old age pension.
Now, look, I'm not crazy about waking up with strangers sitting on my bed, especially if they got baritone voices. Now, say your piece and beat it.
Don't get jumpy, mister. When your eyes get used to the dark, you're going to see a gun about a foot away from your nostrils. I want the keys to your boat, Novak.
Get them in the morning at 25 bucks a smell.
I want them now. Just tell me where they are. I'll do the rest.
Don't get big-hearted.
I don't want chatter and cocktails. I want those keys. Unless you want your face to look like a rump roast, you'll start talking.
The keys are in the bottom drawer of the desk.
That's the boy. Gonna borrow your boat a while. You'll get it back by noon tomorrow. There's the boat keys.
Two of them are. The rest open the front door of the U.S. Mint.
Sorry I can't stay around, Novak. You sound like a card. Sleep tight, Novak. This will have to do for a lullaby.
He didn't even give me time to pick a dream. I stretched out on the floor as dead as a Philadelphia nightclub. I don't know how long I stayed out of the ball game. Must have been a couple of hours, because when the phone rang, it was past midnight. I reached over to pick it up, but my hands were as steady as a maple leaf in a hurricane, and my head was big enough to sell by the pound. I finally found it in the dark and started talking. Hello?
Hello, Novak. This is Joe Pars down at Pier 19. You awake?
Sure.
You sound groggy.
Oh, it's a sedative. What's on your mind?
One of your boats just drifted in. Guess what?
I don't have to. It's smashed up and you want to offer me 50 bucks salvage.
Hey, that's right, Novak. You're psychic.
I'm a patsy, you mean. Some gunsel borrowed the boat a couple of hours ago. Came in here, told me a bedtime story, and took the keys.
Well, you better hop right down here.
It'll keep, Joe.
No, it won't. Hurry up or you'll run a dead heat with homicide. There's a dead guy in the boat.
Well, it must be my playmate.
I don't know. He didn't say. But you better grab a cab and get on down here. There's going to be a lot of questions.
Sure. If you need any good answers, save a couple for me. From now on, there was no waste motion. I knew that. If homicide was on the case, that meant Inspector Hellman. He's a real nice guy, if you like his type. I had to do something soon. If I didn't, I'd have about as much chance as a pound of liver at a cat show. So I jumped into some clothes, and I was starting out of the apartment when I missed my wallet. The keys were attached, and that gunsel had taken the whole works. I began to get mad. For $70, you can get a scotch hangover instead of the kind I had. And if you're lucky, a couple of good memories. So when I drew up at Pier 19, it didn't look like the sunny side of the street. Joe Powers was waiting for me.
You got the first round, Patsy. Homicide hasn't showed yet.
I'm full of luck tonight. Where's the boat?
Right over here.
Lots of fog tonight, huh, Joe?
You're walking on it. Well, there it is. How's your insurance, Patsy?
All right, except I'm not carrying any on that dead guy. Who is he, Joe?
I don't know. He's your passenger. You roll him.
All right, give me a hand. No, push him over on the other side, will you, so I can get in the pocket.
Is he the same guy that took the keys?
I don't know. If he is, he never looked lovelier. Nothing in this pocket. This one's empty, except for a comb. He sure spent my $70 in a hurry. Must have thrown in the wallet for a nightcap.
No identification.
We should have bought a scorecard.
Hey. Hey, here on the floor. It's a key.
Let me see that, Joe. Room 425, Royal Arms Hotel.
Where is it?
That's a dive down on Turk Street. Well, say hello to homicide for me.
Oh, you're not bright tonight, Novak.
Well, I'm not going to stay around here. They'll pick me up faster than a gin fizz.
What am I going to tell them?
Anything you like, Joe. Shift into freewheeling and let them follow, but I'm not going to hang around for a pinch. I'm one boat and $70 short.
Tell it to homicide.
I don't like manual labor that much. See you later. I started for the Royal Arms Hotel. On the way, I picked up the only honest guy I know, a bottle baby by the name of Jocko Madigan. He's a good man, except he thinks it's a waste of the taxpayers' money to put alcohol in torpedoes. I hauled him out of the Hunt Room bar, and we walked down the street to the Royal Arms Hotel. It was the perfect spot for a missionary. The lobby looked like the first act of Rain. There was a pinball machine in one corner, a couple of last year's girls in this year's slacks, and a bleary-eyed little night clerk. He looked like a well-groomed laundry bag, and he gave us the fisheye as we started upstairs. Room 425 was down at the end of the hall. Jocko didn't care if we ever got there.
Patsy, we have no business coming up here. We're in search of fool's gold.
We're in search of my $70.
Exactly. I view you as my penance, Patsy, the sackcloth for a misspent life.
If you can shake off that buzz, you'll find out I'm in trouble.
You'll always be in trouble because you're a patsy, and you're dangerous because you move in the twilight zone between good and evil without any predisposition toward either one.
Yeah, all right. Here it is. 425. Nobody home. Let's go in.
It's housebreaking.
Now look, Jocko, I want my $70. I'm going in.
Patsy, sometimes you terrify me. I think you'd pick the lock to the gates of heaven.
I would if they had my $70. Come on. The guy's dead down in my boat. We won't hurt his feelings. We'll just snooze around a minute and get up. It was a pretty room if you like dead women on your rugs. She was stretched out in a pale yellow dressing gown, as quiet as an April morning and twice as pretty. A dull red scar ran across her temple where somebody had laid an iron shovel. She didn't belong in this hotel, because she was wearing a necklace and a bracelet that left a gap in somebody's pocket. And from the ringside, she looked all right. Jocko noticed it, too.
She has lots of character.
Yeah, but where's my $70?
She's a nightclub dancer.
How do you know?
Her picture's plastered all over the wall there. She's the headliner at El Palateo, Miss Rita Malloy.
Wonder who the guy on the desk is there.
Boyfriend, probably. Let's get out of here, Patsy.
Oh, wait a minute. How about that dead guy in the boat? Where does he fit in?
I'll listen to that one, Novak.
Oh, Hellman.
What happened to the girl? She die laughing at you?
It's Rita Malloy, a piece of change from the El Palateo.
Uh-huh. Got a hat, Novak?
Nope.
Then you're all ready. Come on.
Oh, get your brain lined up and look at her. She's been dead a couple of hours.
You're still eligible, Novak. On your way down, you can explain that guy at Pier 19.
Oh, you can't be that dumb, Hellman.
I'm smart enough to see you peeking over the eight ball. You look like a 10-to-1 shot, Novak, and I got my money on you all the way.
If you're going
to
make this thing add up, you can't do it alone.
I'll try.
You know, that's what Firpo said. So I don't look good on this one. I'll look worse if I leave it up to you. You couldn't find a hangnail if you knew what hand it was on.
You got 24 hours, Novak. I'm going to piece things together, and then I'm going to make a pinch. Pick out a soft spot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Stay near the phone. If it rings and a man answers, that'll be homicide. Good night.
Hellman was right. I looked like a sure bet for the Rota Gravura section. I was beginning to run out of silver linings, and I knew it. I didn't have an answer for anything. The guy in the boat was still a stranger, and Rita Malloy was still dead. I was sitting in the middle of a high-stake game with a pair of trays. When we left the hotel room, I had the funny feeling that there was something wrong back there. I didn't know what. I just knew there was something wrong, the way you feel when you pick up the wrong hat and put it on. The position of the body, those pictures on the desk, I didn't know, but there was one detail that didn't set right. Well, I told Jocko to hang around headquarters, and I started for the El Palateo. It was like all the rest. A little melancholy bar on Mason. A fire trap with a cover charge. The decor looked like early Franco. The floor show was on as I fought my way up to the bar. Excuse me, please. I'm sorry, lady. Can I get through here, please? How about a drink?
Your idea. What do you want?
Scotch.
Soda or water?
Water. You've got a nice club here.
We like it. 80 cents.
Too bad about Rita Malloy.
Yeah?
You don't seem heartbroken about it.
I'm not a mother.
80 cents.
Anything wrong, Eddie?
No, boss. This guy's crying in his beer about Rita Malloy.
Oh. I'm Manny Ryan.
You own the club?
A piece of it.
My name's Novak. Call me Patsy at the moment. The police think I killed Rita Malloy.
When you go on trial, Mr. Novak?
I don't. That's why I came down here, to find out which one of your people killed her.
I see.
She was mixed up to her ears with some thick hoodlum.
You, Mr. Novak?
No, a guy right out of your set. He came rolling in with the tide this morning, playing rigor mortis all over my boat.
Look, Novak, you better go see someone else to tell your troubles to. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, well, so am I, getting out of a murder rap. You knew her, Ryan. In fact, I got an idea you knew her pretty well.
Let's not talk that way about the dead.
Your picture splattered all over her apartment. Were you engaged to her?
That's one way of putting it.
You better have a big fat alibi ready for tonight. Homicide's going to think you killed her.
I'm betting on you for the finals, Novak. I don't need an alibi. She was a friend of mine.
That's why you need one. People just hate their enemies, but they kill their friends.
You better stay out of the public library, Patsy. You're not smart enough to understand epigrams.
I'm smart enough to find out where you were from 10 o'clock until midnight.
Go ahead. Circle around the club. But keep a drink in your hand. We run for profit.
I didn't get much out of the doorman. He wanted a first mortgage to talk, but one of the busboys opened up. He told me that Ryan and the girl had brawled the night before. Also, that Ryan left the club for about an hour tonight. Well, that put him on the list anyway. But it began to look more and more like a one-horse race. Well, I got one other lead. A clarinet player in the band wanted to harmonize with Rita Malloy, but there wasn't much else to go on. And then I spotted the gal who had taken Rita Malloy's job in the show. She was just finishing her number, and so I followed her back to a dressing room. When she opened the door, I got a nice warm feeling like a melted cheese sandwich, and I was looking around for a rope to hang on. She was pretty, and when she said hello, you knew it was time to send in the varsity.
Good evening.
For some people, you mind if I come in?
It's late in the season. I can't be choosy.
I'm Pat Novak.
I'm Tony Drake. What do I do, tremble?
Talk, mostly. Did you know Rita Malloy?
Around here, that was an occupational hazard.
The police think I killed her.
Did you?
No. When I got there, they were tearing down the goalposts.
Oh, that's too bad. I'd have been very grateful.
That's something I'd like to try.
Are you switching the topic, Mr. Novak, or have I been in the big city too long?
I just want to know who killed her. You got any ideas?
Nope.
How about your boss?
Maybe. She was getting a little frayed around the edges.
How's his temper?
No worse than a cobra's. He might have done it, but I doubt it.
Anybody else?
He was putting in a little overtime with a thug.
Not a big, porky guy with a deep voice?
I never saw him. I just heard that he was trying.
Must have been quite a line. Anybody else? How about that clarinet player?
No play. He was just a salmon swimming upstream.
I see. Well, do me a favor, will you, Tony?
All right. You only get one, so make it a good one.
They're tailoring me for a trip over the hill unless I show up with a fistful of answers. Now, can you give me a list of all of Rita Malloy's friends?
I can write them all down on a piece of confetti.
I mean everybody close to her. The people around the club here. The people on the outside. I'll pick it up in a half hour at your apartment.
At my apartment?
Yeah, at your apartment.
All right, don't get sore. I'm just inquiring, not complaining.
All right. One other thing, Angel.
Yes, Patsy?
Don't forget to put yourself on that list. Be seeing you. Well, it was good to get out of there. When she started walking towards you, you felt like a shovel full of scrap iron in a Pittsburgh blast furnace. Well, I called up Jocko at headquarters. He didn't seem to be worried about me. He was thirsty. The guy on the boat hadn't been identified yet. The coroner said he died of severe bruises and that Rita Malloy checked out with a fractured skull. I gave Jocko Tony Drake's number and I started for her apartment. I couldn't have done better with Aladdin's lamp. She had the list and a bottle on hand. I went over the list with her, and then it turned out she had insomnia. The radio was turned down to room temperature. I was working on my fifth drink when the phone rang.
Oh, let it ring, Patsy.
Oh, I better get it, baby.
I think you're a sissy.
No, prison pallor wouldn't look good on me. Hello?
Patsy?
Yeah?
Are you busy?
Well, depends on your point of view. What's up?
Not tearing you away from that list of suspects.
Let's have it, Jocko.
They just identified the dead guy on your boat. His name is Bruno Swice. He's wanted in Miami, Florida. He's a hired gunman.
Good. Now jump over and see Paul Stengel at the Chronicle Morgue, huh?
I already have. There's no tie-up between Bruno Swice and Rita Malloy.
There's gotta be. Those two killings are tied up like ham and eggs.
Hellman just got a report from the Harbor Patrol. They found a buoy knocked out of place. They figure your boat did it and Bruno got killed in the crash.
What does that do to things?
Oh, it clarifies them enormously. This way, you're going to hang for only one murder. Good night, lover.
I knew Jocko was right. Hellman could rig me as long as he had only one case to work on. He's a single-celled animal, and this was just about big enough to fit into his brain. Well, I left Tony's apartment and I walked over to the El Palateo. It must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark enough for me to kick in a back window without being seen. I headed straight for Manny Ryan's office, and I started going through his stuff. It was like trying to separate a ton of salt and sugar dumped in the same bin. I went through most of the drawers, and in the last one, I got a hold of something. I grabbed the phone on Ryan's desk and I called Hellman. Well, I wasn't sure, but I figured he could try this one on for size anyway.
Police headquarters.
Give me Hellman and homicide.
Yeah.
They must have put their best men on his trail because they found him inside a half hour.
Hello, Novak.
I'm in Manny Ryan's office. He owns the El Palateo. I just rifled his desk.
It's a minor offense for you.
I got a hold of last month's phone bill. Guess what?
It's too high.
The office put through two calls to Key West, Florida, the last part of this month.
4 o'clock. I'm barely interested. Go ahead.
Bruno Zweis hired out as a gunman. San Francisco is a long way from home plate. That means somebody sent for him.
And you're trying to put the finger on Manny Ryan.
That's right. That silver frame you picked up at Rita Malloy's? Take a look at the guy in it. That's her boyfriend, Manny Ryan.
We'll check on it. In the meantime, keep squirming, Novak. You look pretty.
Oh, you're smooth, Hellman.
Smart talk's not going to keep you out of the chair, Novak. Stay handy. We've only got a short extension cord.
Yeah, well... Hello, Hellman.
Oh.
Hello, Lupos. Frank, is Jocko Madigan there? Good, put him on, huh? Hello, Jocko. Now listen, I'm up at Manny Ryan's place. Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure, but I think that Ryan's the... My head must have looked like a jackpot. Everybody in town was hitting it. I rolled over and played dead for about 5 hours. It feels better when you've had a dress rehearsal. I woke up in my apartment. The sun was streaming through the window and hit the bed. I looked like the muslin counter after a sale. It turned out I was the host and didn't know it. Jocko was sitting at the table having breakfast. The bottle was almost half shot.
Good morning. How's the other world?
Can't you leave that stuff alone?
Do you have a headache?
Of course I have a headache.
Well, I haven't, so stop lecturing me.
How'd I get up here?
I dragged you here by the heels. I met all the other hucksters on the way.
All right, stop being funny and help me up, huh?
I am the victim of a common error. You don't like me because I'm not entertaining when I drink. You don't object to my drinking, you object to my lack of wit.
Oh, shut up, will
Well,
you?
It's discouraging to be condemned on moral principle when it's really a flaw in nature. By the way, I think they're going to arrest you for the murder of Rita Malloy.
What about Ryan?
I've recommended clemency.
All right, come on, what about Ryan?
You bungled it. By the time Hellman got to him, he had an alibi all framed. The calls to Key West could have been made by anybody in the club, and Ryan's covered for the time of the murder.
How about the others?
They look good, too. Your girlfriend, Tony Drake, was gone for a while the night of the murder. Hellman won't bite. She's just sitting there ready to spring an alibi.
That's right. With legs like that, she can dig up a cousin.
You better get worried, Patsy.
I am. The El Palateo is a dead-end street. I don't know where to go from there. That guy Bruno in the boat could help. There's some connection between Bruno's wife and Rita Malloy.
You're the only connection I can think of.
Yeah.
Hello, Novak. This is Hellman.
Yeah?
You were right about Bruno's wife and Rita Malloy. We just went through her safety deposit box.
I'll bet you handled the money.
She had a clipping on Bruno's wife from a Miami paper, 1937.
Go on.
Divorce action between Zweiss and Miss Olga Pryor.
Well, did you look up Olga Pryor?
That's where we run out of gas. Nobody knew her. We have no description.
Well, how about Rita Malloy? Any dope on her before 1937?
I was going to ask you. You were in the room with her when she died, don't you know?
No, I don't.
I'm disappointed. I figured you'd know a little about her habits.
Huh?
You wrote the book, mister. I figured you for an answer.
Yeah, I got one. And you just gave it to me, Hellman.
Huh?
Meet me at the El Palateo in a half hour. Now, if you're a real good boy, I'll tell you who killed Rita Malloy.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
That's all I want to know, Novak.
Things were falling into place like a fixed roulette wheel. Right from the first, I knew that there was something goofy about the picture in Rita Malloy's hotel room. I wasn't sure. I just knew I had something in the back of my mind. I didn't tumble until Hellman tipped the mitt. And then everything was cakes and ale. I sent Jocko up to room 425 in the Royal Arms Hotel, and I told him to get a description of every dress in the closet. I checked at the desk, and I got the name of Rita Malloy's cleaners. I ducked over there, and I got a list of every dress that she turned in for 3 months. I met Jocko, and we compared the list of dresses. Well, it jibed fine, except for one thing. There was a missing white dress. It had been to the cleaners before, it wasn't there now, and it wasn't in that hotel room. Well, we went over to the El Palateo to find it. Jocko didn't want to buy the scheme at all.
Patsy, I protest the notion of breaking into a lady's dressing room.
Stop worrying, will you? She's not going to be there.
Then it's futile as well as immodest. Besides, how do you know Rita didn't throw away the dress?
I'll give you better than track odds on that one, Jocko. Here we are. Come on. Now look, you take the closets and find that white dress. I'm going through the desk for grease paint.
You should be going through a woman's closet. It's more in the nature of things.
Just look, huh? There's enough grease paint here for the whole Iroquois tribe. Did you find anything?
Yes. Watch this.
Just look for the white dress, Jocko. Hey, what's that in the corner?
Where?
Over here.
I don't see anything.
Well, down here, look, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, well. That feels good, doesn't it, Jocko? Like a spell of perfect weather.
Same grease paint?
Well, it won't take us long to check. Here, you open a couple of these jars.
Don't forget your apron, Patsy.
Hello, Tony.
What are you doing?
Getting ready to build a fire under you. You're going to make nice smoke, too.
I liked you better when you were dumb, Patsy. You don't look good with a Ph.D.
Oh, put away the gun, baby. Remember, this is your second trip to the plate.
Give me the dress, Patsy.
It won't fit.
I'll worry about that. Just toss it over by the door here.
I'll do better. I'll bring
Stay
it.
Stay where you are, Patsy.
It's my ticket out, chum.
You're a good guy, Patsy. Stay out of my way.
It's your role, baby.
Patsy! Patsy, please stay away from me.
Come on, give me that gun.
Patsy, please!
Give me that gun!
Sorry, Patsy. That's all I could do.
Yeah, sure. You want to take a look at her, Jocko?
Put her down on the floor.
Yeah. What do you say, Jocko?
No dice.
Well, you can't win them all, Tony.
You play too rough, Patsy.
You still got a good batting average, Novak.
Hello, Hellman. You better make a fast pinch.
She do it?
Yeah.
She got kind of clumsy in the last round, didn't she?
Not at all, Copper. They had me coming and going. When you're as far back as I am, they don't pick up the option.
Let's get out of here, Jocko. I'll check with you later, Hellman.
Be a good boy, Patsy. I'm going to miss you. You're getting to be my favorite hobby.
Yeah.
I don't know how you were on the distance stuff. But you were sure something on the sprints.
Yeah. Be nice to her, Copper. She could go in the mud herself. It was blackmail, of course. Tony was once married to Bruno's wife. Rita Malloy found out and started to squeeze Tony. Well, Tony wouldn't buy that, so she killed Rita Malloy in her hotel room. She made one mistake. I didn't tumble until Hellman mentioned a woman's habits. Then I knew what was wrong with that picture back in Malloy's hotel room. It hit me like a discordant note in music. Rita Malloy was lying on the floor in a dressing gown, but she was still wearing her bracelet and necklace. Well, when a woman undresses, she always takes her jewelry off first, and then she takes off her dress. Rita Malloy didn't do that, so I took a flyer and decided that somebody had taken the dress off her and put on a dressing gown. Why? Well, because there was something wrong with the dress. It pointed too much in one direction. Well, it could be a lot of things, but probably grease paint. Tony called Bruno out here. He was supposed to use my boat to dump the body, and when he didn't make it, Tony got scared and lugged away the dress. My $70? Well, it would have looked better on a fixed fight. Well, Hellman asked only one question. How did I happen to know that when a woman undresses, she always takes off her jewelry first? I must have read it somewhere.
The Armed Forces Radio Service has just brought you Pat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb. Pat Novak is produced by William P. Russo. Jocko Madigan is played by Tudor Owen. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr. Music was composed and conducted by Basil Adler. Be with us again next week when over most of these same stations we'll bring you Pat Novak for Hire.
I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
The night is long and casts the shadow of doom over Collinwood. One who was close to us, a little boy, is still missing. We do not know yet that the boy has been trapped in a mausoleum in the old Eagle Hill Cemetery. Now he has found his way out, unaware that a new and greater danger is about to fall on him.
Come on, Sarah. I'll help you up. Now where did you go? Come on, Sarah. This is no time to start playing games. Sarah, I don't know where you are. But I can't wait. I've got to go home.
Hello, David. I've been looking everywhere for you. But now I've found you, haven't I? Looking for you, dear boy. You've had us all very worried, you know.
I guess I have. I'm sorry.
But it's all right as long as you're safe and sound. Where have you been all this time, David?
I was lost. In the woods.
What were you doing in the mausoleum just now?
Well, I was on my way home. Honest.
I asked you what you were doing in the mausoleum just now.
Nothing.
Come now, there must have been some reason for going in there.
Well, I got cold, so I went in there, and I tried to get warm.
But it's colder in there than it is out here.
Well, I know, that's why I...
Is there something inside the mausoleum that fascinates you?
Well, that's a place for dead people. What could be fascinating about that?
That's what I want you to tell me.
I don't know. I mean nothing.
You know it isn't right for little boys to tell lies, don't you?
Yes.
And you know what happens to little boys who lie to their elders.
But Barnabas, I'm telling you the truth. Honest.
I think not, David. I think you're keeping something from me.
No, I'm not.
David, you're acting as though you're afraid of me. You mustn't be. I'm not going to hurt you.
Well, you said the people at Collinwood were worried about me. I'd better start walking there.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that.
Why not?
Well, because at the moment, everyone at Collinwood is out looking for you.
Well, I do think I'd better go back there.
I have a better idea. You come along with me to my house and wait there until someone comes back to Collinwood.
Well, I can wait for someone there at Collinwood.
Well, I'm afraid I can't let you do that. You see, I found you and now I'm responsible for getting you back there. Now, if I were to let you out of my sights, I would never forgive myself if anything should happen to you.
Well, nothing's going to happen to me.
Come, you come to my house and you can tell me all about your little friend, Sarah.
What about Sarah?
Well, she was the one who brought you out to the mausoleum, isn't she?
No, nobody brought me out here. I came by myself.
You do have a little friend named Sarah, don't you?
Yes.
Well, wasn't it her idea to go into the mausoleum? Didn't she have a little secret she wanted to share with you?
I don't know anything about a secret.
I know better, David. Miss Winters told me that you went out to meet Sarah in a secret place.
Well, I guess she's wrong.
Well, now, Miss Winters wouldn't lie about a thing like that.
Well, I'd better get going to my house.
How old is your little friend, Sarah?
Well, she's 10.
Are you sure that she's not almost 10?
I don't really know.
David, I'm sure she's told you that she has a family.
Well, no, she doesn't even talk about them.
Oh, come now. She must have told you she had a little sister or a brother.
No. Honest.
Very well, David. You come along with me to my house and perhaps your memory will be a little clearer there.
But no, Barnabas. I want to go to my own house. Barnabas, let's go.
David? David? Is that you?
It's Birch. Over here, Birch!
Let's go and meet him, David.
No. Let's wait here. Here he comes.
Hey.
Oh, Birch.
Dad, you're all right.
I found him here at the mausoleum, Burke. He's been behaving rather strangely, but I'm sure it's because the ordeal has left him terrified.
It's strange how you succeeded where a sheriff and a dozen deputies failed.
Well, it's not so strange, really. You've been covering the same area, and if I hadn't found him, I'm sure you would have.
Yes. Yes, I guess you're right.
David, how do you feel?
I'm okay. I'm just a little cold and hungry.
Well, I should think you would be. Did you say you saw him in the mausoleum?
Yes.
Well, David, you couldn't have been in there very long. Your father and Joe looked in there earlier today, and it was empty.
Well, I wasn't in there. I was playing in the woods, and I got lost. I think I wandered away too far.
You also gave everybody a pretty good scare. You know that, don't you?
Yes. I'm very sorry. Is anybody at Collinwood now?
Yes. Vicky and your father are there. What's the matter, David?
Apparently, I must have confused David. You see, I stopped by Collinwood on my way back from Bangor, and there was no one there when I knocked, so I assumed that they'd all left the house to join the search. I told David that there was no one there and suggested that he come to my house and wait.
I see. Well, that won't be necessary. We're taking David back to Collinwood right away.
Let's do that, by all means.
No news.
Not a trace of him.
They haven't given up the search, have they?
No. The sheriff says they'll go on through tonight and all day tomorrow. But if they haven't found him by nightfall tomorrow, the sheriff thinks there may not be much hope.
Oh, no.
I can't understand it. He couldn't have traveled very fast or very far in these woods. The sheriff has combed every square foot of this area and they haven't found him. Now, a child just doesn't vanish like that.
Vicky!
David!
David!
I'm glad you're safe.
Oh, Father!
David, are you all right?
Yes, I'm okay. I'm just so hungry and tired.
On earth did you find him?
Well, actually, it was Barnabas who found him. I happened along after he did.
Barnabas, I can't thank you enough. Where was he? By the mausoleum in Eagle Hill Cemetery.
The mausoleum?
He was just coming out of us.
But we looked in there earlier this afternoon. You weren't there then, David.
Father, I told Barnabas. I was on my way home, and I got so cold that I went in there, hoping I could warm up.
Well, whether it was just luck or not, I can't thank you enough, Barnabas. Well, David, you'd better get some food for you and then up to bed. Come along. What's the matter, David?
Nothing, Father. Nothing.
I agree with Roger. Luck or no luck, we owe you a great debt of gratitude.
Nonsense. I deserve no special praise for carrying out what was clearly my family responsibility. I'm curious to know how you happened to be roaming around the mausoleum. I wasn't roaming around, Burke. I happened to be on my way to the woods on the far side of the cemetery, and the chance that David might be there.
I see.
I could ask you the same question, couldn't I? You were in the area of the mausoleum yourself.
Well, I was in the woods this side of the cemetery. I had no plans to go near the mausoleum. But then I heard David's voice.
What does it matter who is where? David's home and safe now. And that's all that matters.
Yes, quite right. Well, David's not likely to go wandering out at night by himself anymore.
Well, let's hope not.
Well, I must be getting on. I have some things to attend to at home. Good night, Vicky. Good night, Burke.
Good night.
Good night, Barnabas. And thank you again.
You're welcome. And I'm sure what David needs most right now is a good night's sleep. But if someone should have the opportunity to question him, I'll be most anxious to find out how and where he got lost.
All right. I'll be sure to let you know.
Thank you.
Now, David, I think we should have a little man-to-man talk before you go to bed.
But, Father, can't we wait till morning? I'm so tired.
I can understand your being tired, David, but surely it won't take much effort for you to tell me where you've been.
Well, I just went out to look for Sarah, and I couldn't find her, so I kept walking deeper and deeper into the woods, hoping that I could find her.
Well, out in the heart of the woods is a very strange place to go looking for a little girl, isn't it?
Well, I guess so, but Sarah has a way of just showing up in some strange places.
And you didn't find her, did you?
No.
Well, then what happened?
Well, when I turned around to come back, it started getting dark quickly. And I got lost. I was so tired of trying to find my way out. I just finally fell asleep in the woods.
Now, David, that just doesn't make sense. The sheriff and 12 deputies were out looking for you in those woods. Burke, Barnabas, Joe Haskell, and myself were helping them. That's 17 people altogether. Now, surely, if you were sleeping in those woods, one of us would have found you.
Father, I don't think Barnabas was just walking past the mausoleum when he saw me. I think he was on his way inside it.
Well, it's quite immaterial where he was going. The main thing is that he found you.
But he knew that you'd already gone in there. So why would he go in?
Now, don't try to change the subject, David.
It's almost as though he knew I was in there.
As a matter of fact, I would like to know what you were doing in that mausoleum.
I already told you.
Well, now, David, and that answer didn't make very much sense. A mausoleum is hardly the place to go to get warm.
I never thought about that. Barnabas is mysterious, isn't he, Father?
Now, let's get back to what happened to you.
You know, we don't know anything about him. He just showed up one night.
Now, you listen to me, young man. I realize that you have been through an ordeal.
And if you don't want to talk about it tonight, very well, we shan't. But be prepared to discuss it tomorrow. I fully intend to find out what happened to you and why. And to see to it that it never happens again. Now, get a good night's rest, son.
Good night, Father.
You finally decided to come back.
What do you mean?
I told you to be here at sundown to report to me. Why weren't you here?
Didn't have anything to report.
Why didn't you come and tell me that?
Well, I was still out in the woods looking around.
You're lying, Willie.
No, I swear, I was still doing what you told me to do.
When I give you an order, you usually carry it out, unless there's a reason you're afraid to. You would have been here at sundown, but you were afraid to tell me something you learned today. What was it, Willie? What was it?
I told you nothing.
Fortunately for you, I have more urgent business to attend to.
Like what?
While you were out cowering in fear somewhere, I went out and found Cousin David.
You found him?
Yes.
Where?
Coming out of the mausoleum.
The mausoleum? Well, you think he knows about the secret chamber?
And of course he knows about it, you fool.
But did he tell you that he did?
He didn't have to tell me. I knew it by the way he looked at me. By his lies in answering my question.
And what'd he say?
He claimed he got lost in the woods and fell asleep. I knew that was a lot of nonsense. And he was aware that I knew it and it frightened him.
What did you do to him?
I wasn't able to deal with him then and there. Our friend Mr. Devlin happened to come along and so we took him back to Collinwood.
You think he knows everything about you?
I'm not sure how much he knows. But the one thing I am certain of is that he's lying to me about something. We know he went out to look for Sarah in a secret place. That could be the secret chamber in the mausoleum. If it was, then he probably knows everything. And that means that we'll have to deal with him as soon as possible.
Barnabas, if you're not at least absolutely certain, it'd be wrong to do anything to him. I mean, he's just a little boy. Well, even if he got into the secret chamber, he probably didn't understand what he saw.
If he got in, Sarah had to help him. And she probably explained everything to him.
Maybe she didn't tell him anything.
Maybe, maybe. What assurance have I with maybe? No, Willie. At the very least, David's curiosity has been aroused. And curiosity in a child can be a very dangerous thing. The sooner it's put to rest, the better off the both of us will be.
By now. I guess I wasn't as tired as I thought I was.
Well, I should think you'd be exhausted. Did you get enough to eat?
Yes.
You look very pale, David. Maybe you're coming down with a cold or a fever. Staying out all night in the woods isn't very good for anyone.
I don't feel sick or anything.
Something's the matter. What is it?
Vicky, I'm scared.
Of what?
I don't know.
I guess if I'd stayed alone in the woods all night, I'd still be pretty scared, too.
That's not what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of something right now.
But that's silly, David. You're home. You're as safe as can be in this house.
I don't feel safe, Vicky. I feel like somebody's watching me. Somebody evil.
Good night, David. Pleasant dreams. Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
The fate of a little boy trapped in the secret chamber of an old tomb has been a matter of grave concern at Cullinwood. Now that the boy has been found, there is the feeling that the crisis has passed. But in fact, it has not. As the sun goes down, the little boy's life is still in jeopardy. For at the old house on the Cullinwood estate, there is one who fears that the boy has learned his dark and evil secret.
As usual, Doctor, your timing is regrettable.
Where are you going?
I have some urgent business to do.
May I ask what business?
I've been thinking about Cousin David ever since I found him in the mausoleum last night. I'm afraid he knows more than what is good for him.
Barnabas. You'll be making a great mistake if you harm David.
I'm not going to harm him. Yet.
What do you mean, yet?
I know a way of proving whether or not David knows anything about me. And I'm going after that proof now. If he doesn't know anything, he will be spared. If he does, I'm afraid little David will have to die.
How can you possibly prove whether David knows anything?
I told you I have a way.
Well, what is it?
That I'm not going to tell you.
But why not?
Because I want no interference from anyone. Least of all you.
But I wouldn't interfere.
I'm sure you wouldn't if I were to find out that he knows nothing. But if I find out that he knows too much, I'd probably have more trouble with you than I would with him.
Frankly, I think you're wasting your time.
Unfortunately, what you think is irrelevant at the moment. And now, if you'll excuse me, I must be on my way.
Barnabas, I saw David today and talked to him briefly. And my guess is that he knows nothing.
I'm not interested in guesswork, Doctor. I am interested in the facts only.
Seems to me that the only way you can prove whether David knows anything or not is by talking to David himself.
I did that last night when I found him.
Oh, and what did he tell you?
Well, my impression was that from everything he said, he was lying. I'm now going to make sure of that. So if you will kindly step out of my way...
Barnabas!
Get out of my way, Doctor! Thank you.
I thought you'd never get here.
I'm sorry. My waiting room was full of patients, Sam. You sounded frantic on the phone. What's the matter? Is Maggie sick?
No. As a matter of fact, she's not even here. Joe took her out for the night.
Well, what's the emergency?
Well, you know, David was found last night.
Yeah. Burke Devlin called me, told me about it this afternoon.
Well, Barnabas found him coming out of the Collins Mausoleum. Now, Dave, I've been thinking about it all day. And there are a lot of little pieces about that I can't piece together. I'm convinced that the maniac who kidnapped Maggie has something to do with the mausoleum.
Why?
Because once Maggie was found there when she had been missing.
Well, it's an interesting coincidence, Sam, but it probably isn't anything more.
No. It's got to be more than a coincidence. There's got to be some reason why two people who were missing in the same short space of time showed up at the same place.
Sam, if there is a reason, I'm at a loss to say what it is.
So am I. Oh, there's more. The other day, David said there was a secret place where his little friend Sarah would be.
And you think that secret place is the Collins Mausoleum?
Well, it must be.
Seems to me that the last place in the world a kid would want to play would be a mausoleum. But any kid would be scared to death to go into a place like that.
No. From what we know of that Sarah... Now, she doesn't seem like just any kid, does she?
No, she doesn't.
And then, yesterday afternoon, the old caretaker at the cemetery, he told Roger and Joe that he heard voices coming from inside the mausoleum.
Voices?
Yes. He said they were ghosts, but maybe they weren't. Maybe it was the voice of David that he heard. Yeah, I think we ought to go up there and take a look into it.
But how?
I think we ought to go and examine that mausoleum from top to bottom.
Well, I suppose we wouldn't stand to lose anything. Let's see. Tomorrow, I don't have any patients after...
No. I don't want to do it tomorrow. I want to do it now.
Now? Sam, it's well after dark.
I don't care.
I want to go up there now. I've got to satisfy my curiosity. What's going on in there?
Now, will you come along with me? You and I have no business nosing around that cemetery at night.
I think that at night is the only time to examine that place. That seems to be the time when things happen out there. Huh? You don't have to come with me if you don't want to.
I'm not going
to
let you go out there alone.
Whether you come with me or not, I'll, take this with me.
What are you talking about?
Well, I just think I might take this along. In case then I run into any atmosphere that's unfriendly. Who's there?
I don't see why all this couldn't have waited until tomorrow, Sam.
Well, there's still time to turn back if you want to.
No, I've come this far.
Don't worry, Dave. I used to be a pretty good shot with one of these things. This will take care of anything.
I wish you would stop handling that thing unless it's absolutely necessary, which I hope it isn't. Now, where's the mausoleum from here?
Well, it's got a good walk ahead of us. It's all the way over on the other side of the cemetery.
Is there any easier way than this?
Well, I'm afraid not. The mausoleum was, like everything else, was built by the Collins family. It stands apart. It's isolated from the other graves.
A cemetery entrance closer than this.
No, all the other entrances were closed up years ago.
Look, let's get a move on if we want to get home before morning. Something tells me that this is not going to be our night.
Curiosity is insufferable.
I had to know what you were up to.
I sensed someone was following me. I might have known it would be you.
I thought I knew all your secrets, but apparently there's one here in the mausoleum that you never told me about.
I would advise you to go back to Collinwood at once.
What for?
For your own good, Doctor.
No. I'm here now, and I don't intend to leave until I find out why you've come here.
If you insist upon testing my patience, you may never leave here at all. In fact, you may stay here permanently along with...
Along with whom?
Never mind. Just get out.
Barnabas, the experiments have been going too well. I don't think you'll do anything rash with me. Now, why are you here?
That's none of your business.
I've already made it my business. Now, you said you intended to find some proof that David knew about you. You expect to find that proof here?
When I came into your room that night to kill you, I should have gone through with it.
But you didn't. And you won't now. You've shared all your other secrets with me, Barnabas. You have no choice but to share this one, too.
alarm's gonna break any minute.
Hold it.
Hold it.
What's that?
Someone's coming. I can't see who it is, but you ought to make it out in a minute.
Who are you? What do you want of me?
Who are you? What are you doing out here alone at this time of night?
I'm the keeper of the cemetery archives. I'm on my way home.
You always work this late?
I keep no special hours. I often work until after dark. Now, may I ask who you are?
Name is Sam Evans. This is Dr. Woodard. I'm sorry I startled him.
You're trying to get out of the cemetery. You're going in the wrong direction. All the gates on this side are closed.
Well, we don't want to get out. We're heading for the Collins Mausoleum.
Collins Mausoleum? There are ghosts here.
How do you know?
I've heard them.
But you haven't seen them?
No, they never appeared.
How do you know that what you heard were ghosts?
Because I know there is a curse on the Collins family tomb. It was written in the family journal kept by old Joshua Collins. On the day before he died, he wrote that the tomb would be forever cursed.
He said what?
He gave no reason, but the curse is real. The dead have always been restless there.
Well, we have reason to believe that someone else beside the dead has been using that mausoleum lately.
Using it? For what?
I don't know, but that's what we want to find out when we get there.
And on the day I was discovered, chains were wrapped around my coffin, and I thought I was imprisoned forever.
Where is that coffin now?
Here in the family tomb.
Here? But there are only three coffins of the Collins family here.
And for over 100 years, I lay trapped here. In this room. But for Willie, I might have stayed here through all eternity.
And in all those years, no one ever found out about this room. That's astonishing.
I suspect that someone besides you, Willie, and myself has found it. And that's why I came here tonight.
You mean David?
Precisely.
What are you doing?
Looking for the evidence I need.
I don't think you'll find it.
You're wrong, Doctor. Look at this.
It's a small pocket knife.
Yes, and the blade has been broken. Perhaps by a little boy who tried to use this knife to pry open the panel.
Well, you have no way of knowing that it was David.
I know all I need to know, Doctor. I know little David was in this room and he knows all about me. And I must see to it that he never tells anyone.
That pocket knife could belong to anyone. It doesn't necessarily have to be David.
You're entitled to your own opinion, Doctor.
So, this is the Collins Mausoleum.
Someone's outside.
Hello?
ever been in this place before, Sam?
No.
Sam Evans and Dave Waters.
Be quiet.
What are they doing here?
Hasn't it occurred to you that I might be right? That David has told them everything he knows?
Now, come on, let's have a look around, Dave.
We know what we have. We have no idea what to look for. Nothing to look at. Just three coffins and four stone walls.
But there's got to be more here than that, Dave. There's got to be. That'll be some reason for Maggie coming up here, and then David, too.
Grant that. Where do we begin to look?
I don't know.
Sam, give me that flashlight. These nameplates up here. Sam.
Hmm?
Look at this one.
Well, what about it? Sarah Collins.
What'd you think of? What was the first thing you thought when you looked at that?
The little girl that we've been looking for.
Exactly.
Her first name was Sarah, too.
Exactly. Maybe that caretaker isn't as balmy as he seems.
What are you talking about?
Little Sarah that we've been searching for has a handmade doll, 150 years old. Everyone who's seen her, including yourself, has described her manner as very quaint, remember? Her clothes, her dress, very old-fashioned. When David went out to find her, and then got lost the other day, he was found here. Now, either all of this is an amazing series of coincidences, or...
Or what?
Little Sarah really is a ghost.
Again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.